do want to work for the people of Clogger and bring my talents to do what is best for the citizens as they see it, and accept input and listen to their voice. And I've been a resident of the town for 14 years. For 28 years, I've worked here and in the surrounding communities in Columbia County, and have developed an appreciation and a respect for the people and traditions that form the way of life we all enjoy. I wasn't born in Clogger, but I grew up not far away in Rhinebeck. And part of my summer vacations from school were spent with my family here. I remember seeing the dinosaurs that were crafted for Jonas Studios and stopping at Hickey's store for a copy of Hot Rod magazine, as I recall, on Maple Avenue. And Clogger holds precious memories for all of us, but I feel that the future of Clogger holds even more. I'm of the opinion that Clogger citizens are its greatest strength. We chose to live in Clogger. My wife, Lisa Paprocki, and I raised our son, Garth, on Vanwick Lane. And during the recent August storm, which caused so much damage there, I witnessed the best of Clogger's community spirit. Every neighbor pitched in to clear away down trees and debris, and the AV Shaw Fire Company arrived quickly and continued working until the job was done. I'm running for town board because I feel I can make a difference for all the people of Clogger, and I'm offering the voters a choice, a chance to be heard. An open and accessible town government is the key to bring the best ideas of all the citizens to life. Just making the agendas for the town board meetings available in advance would be a great help, as would a budget wise about every penny spent and easily understood by the average taxpayer, if you understand my mind. Our town needs youth activities and senior citizen programs to help build an even stronger and safer community. I pledge to work in cooperation with all the town board members and work to make Clogger attractive to new business and support home-based e-business, instituting honest and public discussion on long-standing issues like preserving and converting the Clogger School for public use, collaborative ways to work with the public community on sharing services with adjoining towns and private clubs.
Thank you very much. We'll hear next from Morgan Bowers, and she's running for the town board.
Good evening, and thank you all so much for coming out. I'd also like to thank the other candidates for being here, and of course, the wonderful people of the League of Women Voters for organizing this event. It's very exciting for me to be up here as a candidate. For those of you who don't know me, I'm an attorney in a small practice in Chatham, and I live on an alpaca farm in Churchtown. When I moved here, I knew I wanted to help people in my community in a direct, hands-on manner. So I joined the Churchtown Fire Company, where I'm currently the vice president, an active firefighter, and a certified first responder. I also volunteered at a local horse rescue. And I became active in local politics and community issues, and have now regularly attended town board meetings for 5 years. I'm running for town board because over the years, so many people of all political persuasions have told me how frustrated they are about the way the town board conducts their business. I've seen how things that should have been done weren't done, like the dog park that many residents supported, how things that should have been done already haven't been done yet, like the enactment of the comprehensive plan into our zoning code, how things that weren't a bad idea got done in a bad way, like creating a water district that is now far more expensive than we were told it would be, and how controversies that could have been avoided weren't, like the proposal to move Pine Haven out of Philmont. Now don't get me wrong, I think all our current board members are generally good men with their hearts in the right place, but their laid-back approach is no longer enough in today's world. We need proactive leaders who ask hard questions and get satisfactory answers before proceeding. Leaders with vision who do more than react to or accept what's thrown at them. In today's economy, it will take creativity and drive to accomplish the town's goals while keeping taxes low. As an attorney, I'm experienced at negotiating good deals, building consensus, and finding and evaluating all the options before proceeding. As a farmer and small business owner, I'm fiscally conservative, skilled at making the most of a small budget, and committed to maintaining our way of life. As a member of the town board, I can help Clogger meet its challenges and excel. And I look forward to answering your questions tonight and in the future.
Thank you very much. And next, we'll hear from Ian Michke, and he is running for assessor.
Thank you very much. New York State Office of Real Property Services strongly encourages and rewards towns that maintain property assessments at 100% of their market value because it allows for more accuracy, fairness, and it is much easier for taxpayers to understand and determine whether they are overassessed. However, over the past 3 years, Clarbrick has one of the lowest ratios of assessment to market value in Columbia County. Unlike Clarbrick, over each of the last 8 years, Kinderhook has reassessed homes at 100% market value and has been rewarded by the state with a total of more than $150,000. By contrast, Clarbrick has not been systematically reassessed since 2004, one of the longest periods of any town in the county. There is another disturbing fact about Clarbrick assessments. The State Board of the Office of Real Property Services did not accept the 2008 and the 2007 Clarbrick assessors' stated level of assessments, and they did not accept them by the widest margin of any other town in Columbia County. This indicates the possibility of the largest inequity in assessments of any town in Columbia County. Clarbrick properties are typically reassessed only when they change hands based on the purchase price of the property, leaving other properties unchanged. This means that people are being penalized for buying homes in our town. Whether they are a local young couple buying a house for the first time, retirees, downsizing, young professionals relocating to this area, or second home buyers, they are all bearing an unfair tax burden, and this is unacceptable. The result is extreme variations in tax bills for Clarbrick residents. It's not unusual for two comparable homes to have extremely different assessments. This is patently unfair and probably illegal. With my background in real estate research, analysis, college and university teaching, and as a former state worker, I'm ideally suited to work with the State Office of Real Property Services, the other two Clarbrick assessors, and Clarbrick property owners to tackle the important job of obtaining the tax rolls fairly, honestly, and with integrity.
Okay, our first question from the audience, and Matthew, will begin with you. Can you tell us how your background made you qualified for the job that you're seeking? So that would give everyone a chance to add a little bit if they didn't have an opportunity to say everything you needed to in the opening statement. Tell us about your background.
My profession is a land surveyor. I've worked here, I started working at Clarbrick in 1981, and have worked here in Clarbrick and in the surrounding communities since then. And I feel that I've had an opportunity to meet with a broad cross-section of the residents, and while focusing on a specific issue, which is usually related to where their property boundaries are, and have been able to resolve those differences in many cases successfully. And is there?
It's up to you.
I just think that my experience here has been sufficient that I feel it would make a
worthwhile.
Thank you. Morgan.
As an attorney, I'm organized, detail-oriented. I have excellent research skills. I'm objective. I'm experienced at negotiating and building consensus among parties that usually have vastly differing desires and needs. I understand complex situations and can see them through. As a farmer and small business owner, I'm committed to Claverick and committed to maintaining our heritage. I know how to squeeze the most out of a very, very tight budget. I understand what is needed from the town from the perspective of a small business owner in order to achieve my business goals. I understand finances. So I think all of those things will help me on the town board. In addition, as a volunteer firefighter, I have a demonstrated commitment to the community. I do meet a lot of people of all different types and get to talk to them and hear their views.
Thank you. Ian?
Well, I've lived in Claverick for 16 years, and during that time, I've been associated with the real estate business of my wife, first as a salesman and then as an associate broker. And the basis for assessments is the market value, and this is what I have done from day to day for many, many years. I also have a strong background in mathematics, statistics, and analysis. This is as a physicist with a PhD, and this allows me to get to the basic issues of assessment so that I can clear concisely.
Thank you. Robin.
As I mentioned, I'm a Philmont Village trustee, which I've been for the last 3 years, and that came about after a lot of involvement in Philmont, progressing up from the Main Street Committee, the Comprehensive Plan Board, the Local Development Corporation, and now on the trustee board. So I have a lot of experience just in the village activities. Something I don't get to talk about as often is the work that I actually do in the extra time that I have. I am a consultant in magazine publishing, and I do I help people with their budget planning. So I'm specifically doing software training. So I'm training people, empowering them to use the tools that are available in technology to improve their efficiency and effectiveness, as well as doing the number crunching to understand where the leverage dynamics are when we're doing that kind of analysis, which I do think will be helpful when we look at the municipal issues. Thank you. Next question, and this one goes to Morgan first. What are the three top issues facing the town of Claverick?
Only 1 minute. Okay. I think the three top issues are creating, attracting, and maintaining jobs and businesses in Claverick in order to build up our tax base so that all the taxes are not reliant on homeowners. Second, I think bringing transparency, responsiveness, and communications to the working of the town. There is a lot of people feel completely unrepresented. They don't know how to get in touch with the board. They don't feel that they're listened to at all. And the board does not have to be very responsive because they know they're going to get elected year after year as the majority party and the incumbents. Thirdly, I think ensuring that our tax dollars are spent carefully and wisely is always one of the most important things, and this economy is going to continue to be important. And as a fiscal conservative, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that we get all the services we're supposed to for this memo.
Ian, top three issues facing Claverick.
My top three issues are actually very similar to Morgan's. One is transparency, and the way to do that with assessments is to have 100% evaluation, equalization. So the level of assessment is the same as the market value. This way it's quite transparent to the homeowner of what their assessment is, relates directly to the market value. Second, the very important thing is equity, and I touched this on my opening statement. There are many reasons to believe that the assessments in Clawbrick are inequitable. And the third thing is that I think we need to develop new technology to
top three issues facing Clawbrick.
I think the top three issues, the first being that we need to do some economic business development, because if we don't increase our commercial tax base, our taxes will continue to rise with rising costs, because there's no tax base to offset that. That's the first issue. The second issue, I believe, is the communication, the efficiency, the web, things like the website, the talking about the openness of the government, and also just using the technology tools of today to better communicate with our constituents. The third thing I would say is there's a sense of as life speeds up and as business development comes along, that it's also important to balance that with the community feeling that's so important and crucial to all of us, so that we create places that are community space, have community space that we can create that actually is gathering space, whether that's walking on sidewalks or recreational places that we can gather is important. Thank you. Matt?
Everything they all said. Plus, I think toward the end of accessibility and openness, as I had mentioned in my opening remarks, posting the agendas for the upcoming board meetings on the town website would be helpful, as well as promptly posting the minutes of the previous month's meeting to enable or facilitate communication between the residents and the town, so they have an understanding of what's being considered. Also, I think, given the difficult economic climate, I think that if there are state and federal grant monies available for community development projects, they should be sought out and professionally written, the grants, and applied for, as well as making some attempt to preserve the legacy of the Clawbrick School, possibly as a community center, multiple use function.
Thank you. Okay, this next question is a little lengthy, and I'm happy to repeat it at any time. And the question goes to Ian first. How can the town board support existing business, attract new business, and how important is broadband to support business? Ian?
As an assessor, I think the important thing is to have fair assessments. The other members of the board and the supervisor should make sure that, and they would if these folks were elected, make sure that the tax is at the lowest rate, not only for the town, but for the county and for the school taxes. So, and broadband, it's a difficult thing for a rural area, but there are examples of successful broadband in some of the rural areas in the United States, and I can give you some examples.
Thank you. And the question goes to Robin next.
I think that there's a few things that we can do to support the existing businesses. One is identify some of the obstacles that businesses are facing now within our community in order to grow or come here. That includes talking especially to the planning board and the zoning board to figure out what are some of the issues that are stagnating the process, which is often, we've gotten the reputation of it's too difficult to even come into Clawbrick anymore. And the other thing, the other piece that's important is the infrastructure that's going to support businesses to come here. And one of those would clearly be broadband, because you can't really run a business these days unless you have that. And they're also looking at where we have other infrastructure pieces. And also talking to the county level economic development and really working to team up to find what resources they have to encourage
people that come to us so that we can tell them what the options are and are available. Thank you. Matthew.
Could you please read it?
Certainly. How can the town board support existing business, attract new business, and how important is broadband?
Well, I don't know how important broadband is because I've never used it. I have no experience with it, but I would be certainly willing to investigate its usefulness and what would be involved in implementing and creating that offering that utility. I think, again, everything that has been said, to have favorable tax levels and zoning regulations which will allow new businesses as well as the use of existing business to continue to operate, and the physical infrastructure, the utilities and the utilities that will allow the businesses.
Thank you. Thank you. Morgan?
Well, building a little bit on what Robin said, I think one of the things that we can do that will support existing businesses and attract new businesses is identify what our assets are in terms of available commercial spaces and the types of commercial businesses that we want. I'm sure ideally they would be employee intensive and low demands on infrastructure, but to work with the county on trying to attract those types of businesses to our area. Infrastructure is also essential, and broadband is one of those infrastructure. It's impossible to have a home-based business without having the internet, as my business relies very heavily on it, and I know most of the others do. Working to get the comprehensive plan enacted into the zoning code is another thing, because there are a lot of things in there that will encourage business and help.
Okay, thank you. That brings us to the next question, and this one goes to Robin first. What is your vision for the 9H23B intersection, and how will you go about seeing it happen?
And Howard's not here. the vision that I have, I mean, it's a really interesting question, because there's a lot of things in the comprehensive plan that identify that sidewalks are important, that having walkings, having the ability walk is important. Clearly there's issues with space in the post office and the parking, and we want to keep the center. There's a possibility or the vision of keeping that town as a center, that area as a center, and really creating a solid center where people can really be and gather together, whereas now it's sort of this mobile, we just stop and go. So I guess my vision is to enact some of what the comprehensive plan has already identified as what we've all agreed upon, and to really support the businesses there to create the spaces that are needed to. Thank you.
Matt, the next question goes to you next.
Well, it certainly will require the board working with the comprehensive plan committee and reviewing and establishing the districts that will allow the businesses to function and operate within the zoning laws. I think that as a board member, it would be presumptuous to make a statement otherwise, and would certainly want to confer with the comprehensive plan committee.
Thank you, Morgan.
Well, I would like to see the center town is the heart of Clavering. We've got a nice little park there. It would be nice to also see if it would be a little bit more walkable. We've got four corners there that aren't really well utilized at the moment. But I think the comprehensive plan does take a lot of this into account. A lot of time is spent on it. They talk to everybody. They have workshops. And most of these visions are and it's really just enacting the comprehensive plan now into the zoning code so that we can have a multi-use facility where you have stores and shops next to restaurants and offices with apartments on top. The new library that will be going into the firehouse. If it's financially feasible, getting the old school and making a community center out of that, really making it the heart of the town.
Thank you. Ian?
Well, that intersection is very dear to my heart because I live just down the street. I've tried to have something happen there for many, many years. Been on various committees, especially at the corner where the old gas station was. We've been disappointed, but I see this as a vital intersection. It's one of the busiest intersections in the county. It has tremendous potential. I'd like to see the library expand and have a wonderful place there, a school, a vital multi-use property on the corner with all sorts of things going on that would make it the center of this wonderful community.
Thank you. Okay, next question, and I'm going to ask these two questions together. I think they are linked. And this question will go to Matthew first. How would you move the implementation of Clavering's comprehensive plan forward, and how will you, if elected, further zoning revision as recommended in the comprehensive plan? I'm sorry?
I just didn't hear the last
question. Okay. It's a two-part question. How would you move the implementation of Clavering's comprehensive plan forward, and how will you further zoning revisions as recommended in the comprehensive plan?
Well, I'm personally not familiar with the comprehensive plan. Unfortunately, I think I would need to review that and then could offer a more informed answer. So I will pass to the next one.
Okay, Morgan.
Well, implementing the comprehensive plan is enacting the revisions that are suggested in there into the zoning code, so it's sort of it does go all together. But what is needed right now is the committee who is looking at those zoning revisions doesn't currently have a full-time consultant working with them. Drafting a zoning law is very complicated, and it takes a lot of expertise so that you don't do things that you didn't mean to do, and that you do the things that you mean to do. So one of the things that I would do is provide them with that expertise that they don't currently have enough of. Additionally, it's one of the things that I think our town board does not take advantage enough of is all the free volunteer experts that we have out there who would so much like to have been on this committee and volunteered for it, who are lawyers, who do have extensive experience with zoning and weren't allowed.
Thank you. Ian?
The most important thing, I think, is to reassemble the fantastic committees that were involved in developing the comprehensive plan and using a lot of the volunteer work that they have done in building on that. Morgan's observation about the zoning, there's one really perfect example of that. George Wodenhausen, who's an expert in zoning, volunteered to be on that committee And because of his, simply because of his, because he's a Democrat, he was seems to be excluded from that committee, which is absolutely ridiculous. So I would bring together people and work on the comprehensive plan committees.
Thank you.
Move things along.
Robin?
Well, as Morgan and Ian were pointing out, part of it is that there is a zoning committee in place. It's been working for 2 years now on the zoning, and they really do need some support. They have presented a proposal that's from their consultant for, they actually presented a $22,000 proposal in the, for to put in the budget for next year so that they can get the expertise that they need, which would be supportive. And that is an important, you know, just to move that forward. And I do think that that's part of the pressure that we've put on that's made that, some of that happen. The other part is that there are a lot of things in that comprehensive plan that just really just create a to-do list. If I get the privilege of being in office, I mean, there are things like, there are just simple things like having a town meeting once a year where they gather all the boards together and talk about things. There is the forming these subcommittees that have already been identified in the plan. Establishing a Philmont Village liaison is in that plan, and that's something that's important to me. Enhancing the website is also in that plan.
Thank you. Okay, next question. And I think some of you may have touched upon this in your opening statement, but because one of the audience members has asked, I'm going to ask the question. And this one goes to Morgan first. What do you think of the Board of Supervisors' process for purchasing Ottawa?
I think that the Board of Supervisors, their process was flawed in a lot of ways. Nobody heard about this until they decided to go ahead and purchase it. They made the decision without any public input. They also did not have any clear plan about what they were going to do. They had this idea that they would move DSS over, but they hadn't explored it with any of the people that were going to be moving into the building. So when that fell through, we now have a very, very expensive storage space because there was no plan B. There was also no discussion at the town board level about what it really meant for Clover. This has taken $3 or $4 million off of our tax rolls. We did get a 2-acre parcel, however, that was again never discussed in public about what it meant.
Thank you. Ian?
Yes, I think a lot of the blame for that fiasco goes to Art Bear, supervisors who rammed this idea that he had through, and I'm not sure exactly why he did this. It was ill-conceived, Jim Keegan, our supervisor, just went along with it without any, he was absent. He was also on vacation during some of the meetings, I've been told. So the process was flawed in that Art Bear pushed this, as I understand it, and there was not enough public input.
Thank you, Robin.
Well, I was probably pretty clear that I thought that wasn't a good process. But what made that a poor process is the county needed to deal with the fact that the building that the DSS was in was, the lease was not optimal for them. But what the problem is that when you are going to do something as large as a decision about moving a building, moving in the whole department, you really need to make sure that all the stakeholders that are would be involved, affected by that, would be at the table. Whether that's the Hudson people, whether that's DSS, whether that's Clawbrook, whether that all the people that would be served, and bringing in as many other people so that the opinions can all be heard, so that we can make the best decisions up front instead of being worried, which is what clearly the Board of Supervisors was that they told you too much,
then you would get all in an uproar, and then they couldn't get their return. And that's exactly what we want to happen. Thank you.
I agree that it was kind of an abrupt and hastily reached decision. I found out about it. I was contacted to offer a cost estimate, a bid on surveying the property and by the county, and was surprised to find out that it had already been agreed to be sold to the county, and that DSS was contemplating moving to Clobber, which didn't exactly strike me as a good idea. But I think a little more consideration and discussion and gathering of input would have been useful.
Thank you. Okay, this question goes to Ian first. And in the spirit this evening, we generally ask questions of all the candidates. I feel that this one may be more directed toward you, in your position, I should say. But I'm going to ask all the candidates to answer this question. I have learned that when a building permit is issued, it then is given to the town assessor. I feel homeowners are penalized for fixing up their homes and the community. What do you think about this? Can this be changed?
Well, as I understand it, the law makes a distinction between an improvement and a repair. If something is repaired, for example, if you're restoring an old house, if you're replacing windows, making things work better in the house, that should not affect the assessment, or it should not affect it as much as an improvement where you're actually adding to the house, adding to the value of the house, doing something special to the property. I'm not sure what did that.
Can this be changed? Is part of the question.
Well, what can be changed is that the assessors be aware of the law and things be done to.
Thank you.
To the law.
According to the law.
Okay. Robin.
I do believe that it is a requirement that if you have done a building permit, that is because you've done renovations on your home, and then it goes to the assessor. And that's really a piece of the puzzle in trying to get assessments to be fair, so that if people know that you improved your building and we can think your home, that they're not running around peering in your windows to see if something happened, that if you follow the legal process, which is obviously what we do, that it's appropriate to make sure that we know the value of all the buildings. So I don't know if that's, honestly, I'm not sure if that's something that would change or if that should even be changed, because in order to have fair assessments for everybody, you do want people who have made improvements to know that we need to know that. Because it can, and it doesn't have to change the value, it depends on what the improvements are, quite frankly. You know, certain things that you get don't think affect your assessment at all.
Thank you, Matt.
I'm not exactly sure how the town board member would act to ensure that is the case, other than not changing the requirements.
Okay, Morgan.
Well, I have to say, you know, one of the things is that we need fair assessments. And as Robin said, when you do a major improvement to your house, one that's large enough to require a building permit, it does change the value of your house for the better. If all houses were assessed fairly to start with, I don't think this is a very large problem. It's when houses aren't assessed fairly, the way that we have it in Clobber, where it does become a problem. Whether it's a legal requirement or not that the building permits be turned over, I'm not sure. But again, it seems to me, and this is the first I'm really hearing of it, but off the top of my head, it seems to me to be part of a fair assessment process. It's how it's being used that I would be concerned about whether everybody is being upped when there's a building permit, you know, how exactly this policy is being applied is what I want to get.
Thank you. Okay, this question goes to Ron first. What do you think of the idea of the town purchasing Clovert School to centralize all town offices? Would it also be appropriate for a senior citizen slash youth center?
I think that the idea of buying the Hudson School is a great possibility for the town hall. And a town hall that would be large enough that would incorporate space for people to gather, and that is one of the complaints even of the Clovert seniors, they don't even have a place to meet because we don't have community space that everybody can use, especially on the kitchen. Whether that's the optimal solution is up for grabs. How expensive that would be, what it would cost to remediate, what's the asbestos that I understand is in there. Old buildings are always much more of a challenge when you're in a municipality. There's issues that you have to deal with that if you were a regular person, you don't have to as much. So I think that it's a complex question. I think it's something that really needs to be looked into carefully, whether we can use a school or what else can be done to create a town center. I think that having that space is key and important, and whether that can be the school is a great option, but I'm going to have to check that out. Thank you. Matthew.
And I think it kind of fits in with the question regarding the implementation of the comprehensive plan in conjunction with the zoning regulations, and if it fits, I think too it would serve to be a great attractor, a great feature in the 9H23B intersection corridor to have the community offices, the town offices, as well as a community center to be utilized by either youth or seniors or both, hopefully. But all that pending a review and inspection of the building and the cost-benefit analysis, as Robin had suggested. But I think it would be a good possibility.
Thank you. Morgan?
I also very much like the idea of the school to be a town center and to be a community center. I think there's a lot of great things that could be done there. I think that some research needs to be done to see if it's economically feasible because there are some issues with it, but hopefully we'll be able to find grants to overcome those issues. I think that if the purchase, it's going to take some great negotiating to get that space at a reasonable cost, and that everybody who's involved should be at the table. You know, we should have the seniors and the kids committee, you know, all the different groups in the community should be at the table to discuss what is it we want to do with that space. It'd be a great place to centralize the town services, but I also think that it could be a training facility. We could have the seniors there. We could have a youth program there. I mean, Philmont has a great youth program, but Clovert doesn't.
Thank you. Ian.
Well, the Clovert School is a gem of a building, the front part of the building. It's a gem of a building. It's eligible to be on the National Register of Historic Places. It has a tremendous emotional effect to many, many hundreds of Clovert residents who would like to see something done with that in a public way. I think that the acquisition cost is one of the small minor problems. The school district it has a fairly reasonable price on the house for sale, unlike what Jim Keating says it is for sale.
Thank you. Next question, this one goes to Matthew first. This campaign season, some lawn signs have the slogan, "Progress, not politics." Can you provide any specific examples of progress in Clovert?
No, exactly. Well, let's see.
Received from Greenport was sent to them in the early spring. They waited until after the election to announce that the water rates were going to go up, despite the fact that they knew about it. I did hear that that the water district was far more expensive than people thought, that a lot of residents are unhappy because they would have saved a lot of money by putting in their own well, but they were coerced into, coerced is the right word, but they felt misled about going into the water district.
Ian?
Well, I'm the only candidate here that is actually in the water district. Personal opinions. Morgan is correct that before the election, Jim Keegan misled us and did not announce the huge hike in water bills that were about to occur, something that he knew about for a long time. The whole thing about the water district also gets me because similar to the other issues that we've talked about here, there was not enough thought about what is the best way to solve the water district problem. Politics before progress. Another example.
Robin. Yeah, I was just going to say that's evidence of the politics of the progress. And my understanding, ditto everything that everybody said, my understanding is that they really didn't involve the people that would actually be hooked up to really ask them what they needed and what would work for them as well. And then what we've done is given power over to Hudson. Greenport. And so now our the Clawbrook residents aren't being supported and taken care of. Now they're at the mercy of whatever's happening in Greenport. So they've lost their voice in the decision making, which is a big part of that problem. Thank you. Matthew.
It's unfortunate that the facts were misrepresented and folks were misled and wound up more than what they had initially thought, and that government in that instance did not act in the public's best interest.
Thank you. This question goes to Ian first. It's a simple question. Not saying that the issue is simple, but it's a direct question. What do you think of the town website?
Well, it's interesting. I know the history of that. We, Clawbrook Democrats, had a really nice website, and Cindy back there pushed the town board, kept nagging the town board about having a website of their own, and eventually they did get one, which was pretty terrible. For example, history parts is quite inaccurate. It has never been, it's not, lately it hasn't been updated for a long time. So a lot of the information is very stale. But again, there's an example of the town board was pushed to do something that was obviously needed to be done. They did finally get something, but it wasn't up to par.
Thank you. Robin?
Well, not only is it a really lousy website, but it's very costly to our county. We're paying a lot of money for not much on that service there. The notes are way out of date. The last one can be about 6 months old. They never post the draft of the minutes. They only wait to approval. In Philmont, we have an excellent website if anybody's looking at philmont.org. Which, and we always post the meeting notes immediately. There are so many things that we can do with putting on forms and applications onto the website so people don't have to go in, they can just have access to them. The comprehensive plan that is on the website, which is nice, has draft
written all, you know, like in big letters over it, so you're not really sure if you're reading the last, the zoning and planning board, the zoning planning regulations could also be available on the website, which would be just, you know, super, and it's really not very user-friendly or pretty. Matthew?
I was going to say, but it's cute, but I think that town website is a good idea. We should have one.
Morgan?
I have to agree with everything that Robin and Matt have said. It's another example, though, of how the town doesn't really look at their contracts very well or pay much attention to what they're negotiating. As with the water district, where they let Greenport basically run ramshot over them, we've been pointing out, or those of us who go to the board meetings, since 2005, I want to say, that they were paying way too much for what they were getting. It really needs to be, in addition to, you know, it's not updated frequently, it's not very user-friendly, there's so much more that can be on there. Having the laws and the regulations available, having forms available, having minutes and information, having press releases, having notices, having meeting times, having correct phone numbers for public officials, things like that. There's so much more that can be done in order to really make it a place for residents to get information.
Thank you. This question goes to Robin first, and it's a two-part question. What ideas or programs should the town provide to young people? And why hasn't the skate park been completed at the town park, and how can we remedy this?
I don't know why the skate park has not been finished. I actually thought since this was an election year, it would get finished. so I was kind of surprised about that. It's interesting. I've been to doing a lot of door-to-door this year and this season, whatever you want to call that. And only one person has actually asked me about the youth programs, which is kind of surprising given our demographics and our, you know, and the amount of kids that aren't here. So what do you think we should do? I mean, I would that's one of the things I would love to hear from people on what they think we could do to encourage to have youth programs. I do think that doing some of the recreational activity, you know, having recreational things that are good for young people and adults is to the benefit of everyone. If we got the Hudson School, there's the big playgrounds in the back. But that's actually a really, it's a question that I would like to explore and would love some people's input on.
Thank you. Matthew?
Well, I think the existing Clobber playground program is very good, but it's good for the summer, and I think year-round activities and programs that would grow out of an input gathering forum, and I think it would that forum would lead to discussion and lead to what programs would be desirable and helpful. But to have that lead to a full ongoing youth program. And as far as the skate park, I'm not sure about that or why it has not reached completion.
Thank you. Morgan?
As far as the skate park goes, in the last board meetings that I've been to, I know it is moving forward. I think it's just a question of construction and timing and getting the ramps and some of those donations. I think they're hoping that it'll be completed in the spring, but I'm not entirely sure. So it is moving forward slowly, as most of their projects do, but it is moving forward. As far as youth programs, I agree that, you know, it's very important. There's not a lot for the youth to do in our town. Our town is, I think, 60% over age 55 or something, so other than in Philmont, you know, where you have a centralized youth, there aren't a lot. But I think there are things that we can do to help people who have children. Again, if we were able to purchase the school, have a youth program there. Not everybody wants to go all the way to Philmont in order to go to a park. There are other places that we could set up programs around the town.
Thank you. Ian?
Uh, Again, I think things could be a lot better in Cloudbrook. Comparing with other towns, even Greenport has a very good new program with the green box that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Copaig also, I know from friends, seems to have a much better program than Cloudbrook. I understand, you know, it does require a lot of volunteer effort sometimes. But it certainly would be nice to have to make use of the tennis courts and some of the other facilities, basketball courts, right in the hand here too.
Thank you. I'm just going to make an announcement to the audience. I have two questions here, and of course I'll ask them, and then our candidates will give a closing statement. I just want to, three questions. I'm just giving you this announcement so that perhaps if there's something that you have a question about that you haven't heard an answer to, if you'd like to submit a question, now would be the time. Okay, this goes to Matthew first. Many people don't realize Philmont is a part of the town of Clover. What would you do to improve that relationship?
I suppose naturally it would be a result, the formation of an improved relationship would be the result of discussion between the town board and the village board of trustees, as far as seeking to share services, work in cooperation, collaboration, and seek to be of assistance. So I think the first step would be a forum for discussion and to establish lines of communication between the town and the village.
Thank you. Morgan?
Well, I think one of the first things to do is the comprehensive plan does contemplate having a liaison that bridges between the town and Philmont. I think filling that position would be very important. Meetings, town board meetings are on the same night as the village board of trustee meetings. It would be very nice if they were not on the same night so that there could be some possible interaction between the two, perhaps even having meetings specifically, a workshop or something on what can be done between the town and the village, particularly with regard to sharing services. Duplication of services is something that's very expensive, and this can be done, the consolidation of services can be done whether it's with Philmont, whether it's with other towns, countywide, and that's something that I think we need to explore on all of the levels.
Thank you. Ian?
I think there's a tremendous opportunities for bringing down the cost of services to the town, villages, and the county by consolidating services. It doesn't make sense anymore with the good communication between these various entities. In the area of tax assessment, for example, it makes a lot of sense actually to have a countywide tax assessment. And this has been successfully done in Tompkins County. And that saves about $200,000 countywide per year.
Thank you. Robin.
Well, obviously, Philmont is near and dear to my heart personally. And so it's an especially important thing to me to create a link between what has been the separation between Philmont and the Clover. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the fact that, as Morgan noted, that we do need to create a liaison between the two communities, that we do need to change the nights of the board meetings so that we can attend both. I mean, it's frustrating, and how can we both keep up with what's going on? I also think that those kinds of things and being more
more involved will begin to maybe melt some of the resistance that is that comes from the feeling of sharing some of those services, because there's a lot of pride in Philmont. And you know, I'm very intimate with the budget and what we can, you know, where we can go and analyze and to figure out some of those possibilities of where we can maybe save some services in that sense. But I think there's also the reality of being careful.
Yes,
thank you.
Okay,
and now I'll let you be done for
the next question. Next question. This goes to Morgan first. What role will you take in helping to protect Clover from the Hudson truck bypass?
Protect it. I will stand in front of the trucks. I think that as a town board member, I am going to strongly encourage our supervisor, whoever she might be, that Clover needs to have a seat at the table. I mean, we have to be at the table. It completely involves us. All the people that it involves, Clover, Hudson, Greenport, DOT, you know, we all need seats at the table. This can't be one of those things that just a few people decide in a back room and then announce, and then everybody gets in a big uproar about. That's exactly what shouldn't happen. So we need to be there, and we need to be involved, and whoever our representative is in this committee needs to make sure that they're hearing from everybody in the town and taking into account our infrastructure issues and the noise issues and all the other issues.
Ian.
Okay, well, this actually affects me very personally, because our house on Route 23B is very close to the road. And there are a lot of ADM trucks and other trucks that go past our house. I think this should be looked at very comprehensively, so that alternative truck routes can be found and organized that have the least impact. One of the really obvious things that can be done immediately is to reduce speed limits in the hamlets. Another thing that can be done is to, this sounds counterintuitive, but to actually have sidewalks and curbs, and to keep the roads relatively narrow.
Thank you. Robin?
I think that everyone agrees that we don't want more trucks coming through Crawford. But we need to be, as Martin noted, at the table. And what we really need is a leader who's not going to sit back and write letters and say, oh, we don't want this to happen, but is actually very proactively involved in making sure that we know what's going on, that we bring up options, that we ask the questions to make sure that we make sure other people are at that everybody that could even possibly have an idea about this, because it is a complicated issue, is involved, and we do what we can. When the paper asked me what were the first two things I would do, one of the first two things I would do was call DOT and make up an appointment to go and be and sit down and talk to them. Thank you. Matthew?
And that would be my first suggestion, is to directly discuss it with DOT, but also to gather input from the Comprehensive Plan Committee and see how the use of that area of the hamlet will benefit from sidewalks and reduce speed limits and a narrower traffic lane, and if grant monies are available to assist in the completion of that. But I think participation from the community in the decision making mm-hmm. process is the key element.
Thank you. Okay, next question, and this goes to Ian first. Will so-called fair assessments eventually gentrify our town and make it impossible for some folks to remain in their homes? Ian.
Fair assessments. if assessments are fair, the taxes on people should be relatively the same. To go to a fair, higher assessment does not mean higher taxes, because the tax rate should go down. Determines the taxes on something is the budget and the revenues from the budget process. Gentrification
everybody's paying equally and fairly among that group. It doesn't matter if we what I think the concern is whether there's affordable housing, and that is something that we can more aggressively pursue in terms of working with the county and developers to see if we can create housing that's actually affordable for people, whether that's smaller places. I think that, but the gentrification is not an issue of the assessment, I believe. Matthew?
I think as a town board member, about the best you can hope to do is to work to streamline the budget and keep costs to a minimum. And that's what I think is a realistic goal for a member of the town board.
Thank you. Morgan?
I have to agree that I don't think assessments are going to cause gentrification. Ideally, if everybody is fairly assessed and the budget is not increased, there shouldn't be too much of a discrepancy. I think what the question is really asking are things like seniors or people who have been in their homes for a very long time, but in particular seniors getting priced out of their homes because of taxes. And one way, there are tax breaks, property tax breaks that are given to seniors. I can tell you that having sat in 5 years of board meetings, it took the board 2 different years to finally raise seniors up to where they were getting, and veterans for that matter, to where they were getting even a partial break compared to what most of the other towns grant on their tax bills. So that is something that the town board can have an influence on, and affordable housing is another thing that we need to pursue, senior housing.
Thank you. Next question, Robin, this one goes to you. How do you feel about creating a town-wide community day?
That would be great. I'm one of the main organizers of the Philmont Community Day, or have been, so I know it takes a lot of work and a lot of volunteers, and I bet you Philmont would be, you know, even willing to, like, do it together at this point. So, that's it.
Okay. Thank you. Matthew?
I agree. I have participated as someone who enjoys community days and in other communities, and feel it would be a wonderful thing if you can draw enough support to organize and through volunteerism carry it out.
Thank you, Morgan.
I agree. I think the community is a great idea for building the spirit and getting everyone together and everyone in need. It'd be great to be able to do it with Philmont, although Philmont does have their own. I was thinking it might be nice to have in the Hamlet. For those who attended Clover Baby Shaw hosted the firefighter convention this year, and that was just an amazing experience for everyone who was there. Probably the closest thing that we've had to a community day in many, many years. And what a wonderful thing it would be. We've got five fire companies, four be an obstacle and get people together so that people could see their the things that they have in common and not the differences.
Thank you. Ian?
When I first came to Clawbrook, I was very enthused about the history of Clawbrook, and I helped organize a house tour of historic homes, and that was a really wonderful community event, and I helped to continue that, but got sidetracked with some other issues. But community days, community events really do cut across all political types, and it was very interesting to meet people that I wouldn't normally meet in those kinds of situations, and something that I would really love to encourage.
Okay, that brings us to our last question for the evening, and it goes to Matthew first. How would you keep Clawbrook residents informed about Clawbrook issues? Would you support public workshops on the issues, such as assessments?
I think that would be a marvelous idea if that's something that could be advertised, possibly on the website or through mailings, but to anything to engage the community in the decision-making process and have that then carry into the town board agenda and discuss at the meeting.
Thank you. Morgan?
Well, I think engaging the community is definitely one of the things that I have in my goals. Listening to the community and getting them more active and engaged, and some of that is getting the information out there. One of the things that I've announced that I would do if I was elected is have office hours so that people can come and see me and tell me their issues. But part of that is also getting the information out there. The town website is a big way to do that, but a lot of people don't have internet access. So I've been racking my brain for months trying to come up with how to reach all the people that don't have internet access. And some of the ideas I've come up with, in addition to using our lovely local paper and press releases and liaising with the reporter, are things like putting the town board meetings on public access television, which will not be a cost to the town, it's free, as well as maybe including a newsletter with your tax bill. Might as well get some good news in it. So I have various ideas on that. I'm always looking for more.
Thank you. Ian?
Okay, well, this is actually something very dear to my heart because I just sent out a press release this morning suggesting that that if I was elected, I would have a yearly workshop on assessment, and that would go through and at the appropriate time, by the way, as the taxes get mailed out, and before the grievance process, but to have people come to these workshops so that they understand their assessment, which is a little complicated right now. I'd like to streamline that and make that more visible. To go through the process the grievance, for example, which again is very fairly complicated.
Okay, we'll move now to closing statements. I'm sorry, Robin. I'm sorry. Okay. Forgive me. Gee, I got through the whole night though. The last responder. Sorry about that.
Well, just because empowering people with information is really important to me. And so the idea of having public workshops for the assessment is great, as well as offering workshops on the budget if possible. One of my proposals is to have workshop meetings, which are town board meetings that would be halfway through the month so that you can have a more informal process. Also using the website to encourage some sort of listserv, the newsletters and the tax bills. And I sort of hope maybe we'll start some round robins.
Okay, thank you. Now we move to the closing statements, and we begin the closing statements in the reverse order of the opening statements, which means that we begin with Ian. You may have 2 minutes to make your closing statement.
I would like you all to vote for me and your mates for Clawbrook Assessor. I've lived in Clawbrook for 16 years. When I first came to Clawbrook, I was enthralled with the beauty and history of the town. So I helped found CloverReach, a nonprofit organization whose purpose was to preserve and enhance Clawbrook's heritage, charm, vitality, and was responsible for placing 16 houses on the National Register. I want to acknowledge the role of my wife, Peggy Lenton, from whom I've gained much of the experience for this position. Peggy is a Columbia County native and real estate professional who has owned her own thriving business since 1986. I've worked in real estate with Peggy since 1993, first as a part-time and then after my retirement in 2003 as a social broker. With this background, I'm familiar with all the roads and neighborhoods of the town, as well as the homes and businesses. I have completed dozens of comparative analysis. I've worked in numerous real estate appraisers, lawyers, mortgage brokers, and bankers during this time. There have been many complaints about unfair assessments. Along with Peggy, I've helped several people compile data for the grievance process and help them successfully and fairly grieve their assessment. So I have a good understanding of the assessment issues, including market values, equalization rates, level of assessment, tax maps, and tax rolls. With a PhD in physics, I have taught in colleges and universities. I've worked with as a building energy efficient consultant and staff analyst at the Public Service Commission. As your assessor, I pledge that I will be fair, honest, and uphold my position with integrity. Thank you.
Thank you. Morgan.
Thank you all for taking the time to hear us tonight and for your thoughtful questions. I've been attending town board meetings now for 5 years, which is more than even some of the incumbents on the town board. I've seen how little your concerns seem to matter to some of our elected officials, except, of course, at election time. I really want to change that. If elected, as I mentioned, I want to hold regular office hours, so you'll always be able to find me to discuss your concerns. And I hope to increase the availability of information that's coming from the town so that you can all be more involved. I really want to give you all a voice on the board. One of the things that's very important is for all decisions to be made with input from the residents and using volunteers. Volunteers allow us to increase our programs without increasing our expenses. And it also gives the people a source of ownership over those programs so that they want to see them succeed. I read recently that the difference between a statesman and a politician is that a statesman does what is best for the people and a politician does what's needed to get reelected. Now is the time for statesmen, not politicians. So if you're tired of politics as usual in Clawbrook, I hope you will vote for me on November 3rd.
Thank you. Matthew.
I'd like to thank each of you for coming here tonight. As I said in my opening remarks, I've worked here in the town, in the county in general, for a while. And as Ian had alluded to in his closing remarks, I'm familiar with the geography as well as the residents. And my goal as a member of the town board is to be available to you to see that your voice is heard and that your best interests and your wishes are brought to the public forum and implemented if feasible and reasonable. And that you will always, if I am elected, you will always have an ear and a voice on the Clawbrook Town Board.
Thank you. Robin.
Tonight we've talked about decreasing our taxes by increasing our commercial tax base, enhancing our sense of community, and increasing communication. I'm willing to work hard for you. I will deal face-on with issues concerning Clockwork and our county. Seemingly, unlike Jim, who isn't even here, my experience in Philmont enables me to hit the ground running, and my work as a publishing consultant gives me the skills in management, budgeting, and assimilating information to bring forth solutions that we need and to lead us into the future. In my personal and professional life, I'm always looking to do more with less. And the opportunities to do that at the town level are numerous, whether it be taking advantage of the talented people in the community who want to be involved, using grant programs at federal, state, and private levels, upgrading the efficiency in the office, or integrating the town needs with the Village of Philmont needs and the county needs to be more effective overall. All people deserve the respect to be listened to and responded to. And if you have the honor of representing the people of your community, it's not only the polite thing to do, it's an obligation. Many people of Clockwork are not feeling listened to and are often being just ignored. As supervisor, even if I disagree or can't help with a particular issue that you are raising, I promise to be forthright in sharing with you what I know or believe so that we can both gain from you speaking up. I'm disappointed that Jim isn't here tonight. Not only as his opponent, but as a town resident, it makes me feel like he takes our votes for granted and he doesn't feel that he needs to listen to your questions. I will bring fresh energy and attentiveness to the job of town supervisor. I will stop wasteful spending and take advantage of existing resources. I will always listen and proactively work to make things happen. I have a vision for Clockwork that will bring us into the 21st century, and that vision comes from your input. I hope I will give you an opportunity to make it happen for you. Oh, vote. You have a choice.
Thank you. I think it's appropriate to offer a round of applause. We never endorse candidates. We merely try to provide a public service so that citizens can be informed when they go to the polls to vote. We urge all of you to vote and encourage your neighbors to vote as well. We applaud anyone who is willing to serve the public. We certainly wish you all the best. There was a final question, and I believe I answered it at the beginning of the evening, but some people came in late. This question was for the League. Who else was invited for tonight's debate? Did they respond? Yes, all candidates for the Town of Clockwork offices, all candidates were invited to participate tonight. We had one phone call. We heard from a Mr. Rob Prusser, and he indicated that he had a conflict, had an event at the Chamber of Commerce this evening. I wanted to just clarify that for anyone who came in late. I want to thank WGXC for being here tonight. I believe they have streamed this. Again, we're always looking for members of the League of Women Voters. We are men and women, not just women. And we are always looking for folks to join us. Thank you all for being here tonight.